are Carter and Liz Schuld. This past summer, we were privileged to be part of the team going to Fort Collins, Colorado to Living Rock Church and experience firsthand what they are accomplishing up there, as well as the challenges that they're having in spreading the word of God and what to pray for.
And I was so amazed to see very wealthy population of the United States. 350,000 people in that small area. Over 90% have not heard the word of Jesus Christ.
My name is Ron Feemster, and I was blessed this last August to be able to take my daughter Emily to Serbia on a mission trip. We went there and put on a baseball camp for some kids there and helped with some of the church services and things like that.
Yes, I really liked the experience there. I learned so much more than I would have imagined just from the culture and spending the time with the other teenagers my age there. I am so excited to go back that I am already trying to learn the Serbian language.
My name is Jim Jonah. I had the opportunity to go with the 5th grade boys led by Miller Scanlon to go serve at Mission Arlington. We had the opportunity to pass out flyers for upcoming Vacation Bible School. We also got to teach Sunday school at the apartment complexes, and we collected pizzas for the Vacation Bible School the next week. It was an amazing opportunity to serve. The greatest part of it on the way home was the boys asking, when do we get to go back?
My name is Mandy Jonah. I went with First Baptist Texarkana on a medical mission trip to Guatemala this summer. My purpose in going was to scout out the area for potential opportunities for Lakeside to serve in this area.
In Southeast Asia, Pastor Paul and I were able to experience how God is using coffee and agriculture to open up conversations about the good news. We're also exploring how to take other teams in the near future.
I'm Nancy. Until this year, I have not been on a mission trip since I was in my teens. I strongly heard God say to me, "It is time." I accepted that call, and I chose to go on a team to Serbia. And I also want to challenge you to go on a mission trip. If you do, God will open up your heart and put His right inside, and it will open your eyes to the world as He sees it.
Part of what we'll do this morning is just barely scratch the tip of the iceberg, because there's so much we could do. We could fill days with pictures or testimonies or stories or rejoicing together and praying together about what God's doing through Lakeside in various ways and various places. But our desire today is that by seeing just a short and brief slice and glimpse, you'll be able to know that God is working through you and working through your church family and making an impact even around the world, but starting here locally as well. I'm going to invite the four young adults who are going to help me up here in just a moment. We're going to kind of have a time together here on the stools, and specifically chose to do this today with these young adults because I want you to know that we're making a deliberate and intentional effort to say we want to invest in the lives of our young adults in terms of missions. Our missions leadership team is a great group. And James Spencer was the lay director for the last 2 years, and Miller Scanlon's about to be the new lay director of that team, and we have just deliberately and intentionally chosen together that we want to do what it takes to encourage, to support, to pray for, and to come alongside and see God do something in the lives of students and young adults that will affect the rest of their lives in terms of being on mission for God. Now, no way does that mean that it's just limited to young people. It's for all of us, and we'll talk more about that a little bit later. But thank you for letting us, just for a few moments here, share some things together. And you can listen in on our conversation if you want. Okay? Good deal. Thank you all for being here. Appreciate it, because what you have to share is important. And first thing I think is important is for people who are here today to kind of hear from you who you are, and more specifically what you've done in the last few months, this past summer, that's related to being on mission, okay? So, Taylor, or excuse me, this lady here, would you introduce yourself and let us know a little bit more? That'd be great.
My name is Taylor Smith, and I recently went on the Serbia mission trip to help with the women's ministry.
My name is Audrey Montgomery, and I worked with the summer staff program at Glorieta Camps in New Mexico.
I'm McKenna Collins, and I was given the opportunity to go overseas to Munich, Germany, and partner with the church over there and help them out.
My name is Andrew Quinn, and this summer I went to Seattle to work with our partner, our church plant partner, Essential Church.
Good. Thank you all. We're excited about what God has done in your lives, but also through your lives by being obedient to His call to be on mission, specifically the ones you've just described. But just for the next few moments, I'd like to just ask you a couple of questions that will just bounce around a little bit that will help us understand more of what God is up to a little bit in your situation. Audrey, I'm going to ask you first if you'd just be willing to give us a brief testimony of how you saw God at work. Specifically, you saw Him moving where you got to be.
Absolutely. Especially this summer at Glorieta, it is a Christian camp, and so that's the majority of the groups we get. And through that, it's really just the atmosphere of the camp as a whole. You get people that come and are ready to fill up and ready to be present and just hear the Lord's voice. And in that, you see movement like no other every single day. And it's just breathtaking.
Good. Taylor, what about you? What's something, a specific example of how you saw God at work?
Well, we met a sweet lady named Mirella while we were in Serbia this past time. And she was very hospitable, and she invited us into her home and made dinner for us, but she also shared her testimony. And a small part of that testimony was how difficult it is to be a Christian in Serbia and the surrounding countries. I wanted to keep in contact with her, so we started messaging on a messaging app, and one of the things that she has repeatedly said to me, she said, when we came into her home, Jesus also came into her home. And I say that not to brag about any of us, but to encourage you, because you never know the impact you might make on someone's life by showing Jesus love.
That's right. Good. Thanks. Kenna, so you got to spend pretty much a couple weeks in Germany. So you're over there. You're doing your thing. But I want to hear if there's anything that God showed you while you're there that's had a lasting impact, so that now that you're not there, you're here. What difference is it making in your life?
Right. So while we were over there, they taught us four core values, and one of those is joy of the sower, which is like if you continuously plant seeds and just share the love of Christ, you just know that you're being obedient in that. And so don't get discouraged if someone doesn't accept Christ right in front of your face. Like, just know that you're being obedient. And so when you go to bed at night, like, that our end goal isn't to have them accept Christ, it's to be obedient. And so that's what I've learned.
So while you're here,
yes,
what does that mean as a student at Texas Tech University? I put in that plug for you, right? Okay, good. So what does that mean as a college student? What's that, being obedient? I mean, it's got daily impact, right?
Right, yes. As many of y'all know, college is very overwhelming, and so being surrounded with all the new lives and the new doors, it's just encouraging to know that as long as I'm obedient, I can be turned away, but like I'm still being obedient. So.
Good, thanks. And God will use that. So Andrew, is there anything that in your experience you walk away from that and say, you know, I now realize God showed me something about missions that I didn't realize before. It's just kind of a revelation that took place. Anything like that happen?
Yes, Paul. In order to answer that question, I got to tell a little bit of a story. So if y'all hang in there with me. One day after we were done with our ministry, we were getting dinner as a team. We stopped and we just got our food. We sat down at the table and we pray over our meal. It seems like a normal activity, right? And we had this lady come up to us while we were eating, and she scared me because I didn't see her coming, for one. But she came up to us and she said, I just wanted to say that I saw y'all praying in public, except she didn't say y'all because she's from the north. I wanted to say that I saw y'all praying together as a group, and I just want to say that I just wanted to applaud y'all for that, and I just wish that I would have had my daughter with me, because when we pray in public, she just thinks that we're freaks. So that just taught me that praying in public is normal, and you know, maybe normal in the South, but it should be normal wherever you go, and that it teaches you that I walked away from that experience going, wow, I'm on mission at dinner after we were done with our mission activities for the day, that I'm still on mission everywhere I go.
That's great. On mission everywhere, wherever you may be. That's so cool. Thanks. So back to you, Ken. I want you to let me give me an idea. If you were talking to someone and said, hey, listen, this is why I would encourage you about going on a mission trip, not just thinking about it and not just thinking about someone else going, but maybe how you would encourage someone to give specific thought about themselves pulling the trigger and going on the mission trip.
Right. So for me, like, missions has always been like a strong passion in my life, and I definitely encourage people to go on mission trips, because you go intending to like pour your heart out and just show God's love to everyone, but as you're doing that, you're also getting poured into as well. More than you realize that you are, until you get back home and you're like, whoa, wow, God is so great. But it's definitely a life-changing experience to be able to go and serve Christ like anywhere, like even if it's not in Granbury, just like Caliburn, random town. But yeah, it's such a great experience to just go and serve God.
Those people in Caliburn, man, they need
that.
That's great. No, that's good. That's good. Taylor, you went. Obviously, there's that whole segment of obedient to God's call and so on. And you had the promise that God would be with you, because He gives us that promise in Scripture. But, you know, you don't go by yourself in other terms, too. And I just want you to let us know the significant role that knowing your church family was with you and what role they played in you going and so on.
Well, I would not have been able to go on this mission trip had it not been for my church family, for y'all. There was one member in particular who actually pushed me to go on this trip, even though I love Serbia. But he just gave me that extra push that I needed. And not only that, but y'all have helped support me financially, but especially by prayer. We have mighty prayer warriors here in our church, and I'm so thankful for that.
That's so cool. That's neat. Audrey, did you have an opportunity to either share the gospel with someone, or would you relate maybe the opportunity of seeing that someone's life has changed because of a decision to follow Christ? That's always exciting, right?
Absolutely. I saw that happen multiple times, actually. My favorite times were probably when I wasn't scheduled on logistic, and so I could just go to the worship sessions that the group was having. And we would sit up in the balcony, so you're like looking on what is happening below you. Yeah. There was one night specifically that the message hit my heart, but not only that, but like seeing how it moved the kids' hearts. And seeing that was just a great reminder of why we do what we do there as the staff, and being reminded of like what's going on when we're behind the scenes working. And so seeing all those kids accept Christ and come to believe in Him that night.
That's great. Awesome. Well, back to you again. I'm going to ask you a follow-up question, like something similar to the question we asked earlier. Is there anything that God used this summer to show you something that you either hadn't thought about before or reminded you of something about missions and about serving Him that's really significant because of the time you had this summer?
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the biggest things was really a reminder of how important community is, and that community there is crazy in so many ways. But being surrounded by people that come together, are truly unified, and then when they have a purpose and set out to do that, what they can achieve to the fullness of how God uses that.
That's good. Thank you. So let me ask you all, if you would say, you know, sitting on this side of where you've been and so on, Andrew, do you see that there's benefits of a long-term partnership? And, you know, you went to Seattle, we've had a partnership there, and as you look forward and so on, just kind of describe how that partnership kind of came alive for you and what you see there.
So Lakeside has had a partnership with Essential for the last 5 years, and it has been cool to go. I've been every year except last year to go and see like what has been happening in Seattle and the growth and the spirituality that's been coming out of the area in Seattle. Seattle has, the church has ranges between 50 and 100 people every Sunday, just kind of depending on the week. And then they've also planted two churches as well. And they've planted the Rock Chinese Church, which meets on site, and they run between 40 and 50 people each Sunday. And then they've baptized 12 people as well. And they're also in the process of starting another church that's having a soft launch next Sunday, called Summit Life Church in Issaquah, which is about 10 or 15 minutes from where they are. So it's this idea of churches, planting churches, planting churches, continuing the legacy, even though Essential Church is still such a young church by age, but they're already pushing forward and planting churches and reaching people in the greater Seattle area.
That's good. Thanks. So I'm going to open up to any of you. Is there anything that just burning on your heart that you wanted to share briefly before we wrap it up? Anything that's okay? All right. But you're glad to be here, right?
Yeah.
Okay, just making sure. All right. Man, I am so excited when I get to think about how Lakeside can, from the elementary age through middle school, through high school, through college and young adults, we can begin build a culture of expectation that it's not unusual and it's not weird to want to do something that means following Christ. But rather, why wouldn't I want to follow Christ? Why wouldn't I want to be on mission, whether it is serving locally or whether it is getting on an airplane or whatever? Because, you know, different people call different things. I understand that. But the culture of being able to say, we want our young people, even sometimes to help set the pace for older people like me to say, yeah, following Christ shouldn't be the if you can't think of anything else type of deal, but it's I don't want to think of anything else except to follow Christ. But sometimes that doesn't always mean it's comfortable, right? Let's pray together. Father, I'm so grateful for these four young people and for the dozens of other young people in our church family who could share something similar, who you have called and used in days, months, and years gone by. And for those who you will continue to call and to and to send out on mission, Father, may we be a church that encourages and fosters that kind of culture to allow young people to step out in ways that young and energetic and young hearts want to do. Father, I pray that we'll be a church also that says, whatever our age is, we want to be a part of what you're doing. Praying like we've never prayed, giving more than we've ever given, going places we've never been. For your glory and your honor. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hi, I'm Angie Legozo, and this is Stacy Scanlon. We are part of a team that went this summer to Serbia. And while we were there, we got to spend some time with two individuals, Jelena and her brother Miloš. Jelena is 21 years old. She's very shy and very quiet. Her brother Miloš is 24. He's very outgoing and very engaging. Although their personalities were completely opposite, they had one thing in common. They were searching for a relationship with God. But God was also searching and eagerly pursuing them at this time. We knew that as a team, he was using us as part of his plan for these two. But what we didn't know is that he was going to use them to speak to us. Now, Jelena, like I said, she's very quiet and very shy. She was always there with us and always listening, but she never was engaging in conversation with us. So while we were out at a restaurant one day eating lunch, she stood up, which caught our attention. And she grabbed out shakingly her journal to read us a letter she had written us. Jelena was woke up by God at 3:00 in the morning, and she couldn't go back to sleep till she wrote this letter. And here are a few of the words that she had to share.
Mercy was here a couple weeks ago. By Mercy, I mean a fellow Texan, a sweet and talkative girl. On the day that I met her, one of the first things she said to me was, "God has a reason for everything." You might think this is a common phrase, but you would never hear it in Serbian. A Serb would say, "There is a reason for everything," or "Everything happens for a reason," but he would never utter the word God. If I were to say to a friend, "God has a reason for everything," he would A, look at me worried and ask, "Are you okay?" or smile to my face until I left and then think to themselves, "What a weirdo." It wasn't always like this. You came to Serbia, so you have probably learned how to say hello, good morning, good day, or ciao in Serbian. These are all common greetings. But we used to have another old way of greeting people at any time of day. We used to say, "God helps," and we would answer with, "May God help you." Nowadays, only villagers use this greeting. So why did we ever stop? At what point did we get scared of uttering the word God? Before World War II, we were united with God. And then, instead of standing together to fight a common enemy, we saw World War II as an opportunity to fight among ourselves. The King's Army lost and the Communist Party won. We turned away from God and became an atheist utopia. Jesus warned about false kings, but apparently we didn't listen. So we had a false king rule over our country for 30 years. Then after denying God for a half a century, we forgot how to live with him. But we still wanted God to be there for us in sudden misfortune, even though we weren't there for him. This is selfish. We wanted love that we wouldn't give. America will exist for as long as its people are one with God. You are lucky to have never gone through a day in your history without God. It is the absolute worst thing that can happen to a people, and I wouldn't wish it on anyone. We have not yet recovered from it, and I'm not sure we ever will. We have a long road ahead, and many aren't even aware of its existence. You are helping light up that road. Even though the amount of work that you do is limited, in every finite moment, there is an infinity in the trails that you choose to leave. You have chosen good, and I can only thank you for it with this short speech and look up to you as examples of virtuous life. What you do is love. What you do is God. I look at you. I see love, brotherhood, and solidarity. You are one with God, and you share your love with us. I hope to be able to do what you do one day, because what you do is love. What you do is God.
Thanks, ladies. It was a distinct honor and privilege to get to meet Miloš and Jelena. And I believe with all my heart that someday soon they're going to place their complete trust and faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. In fact, it could very well be that they're watching our service today on the internet, because they've been doing that frequently since we were there. And they know that we're praying for them, and they know that we love them. Hey, listen, I also want to tell you that in addition to all the things we've described already, there's something that we got to do this past week that was incredibly meaningful. We were able to be a part of some disaster relief efforts in the wake of Hurricane Harvey. And even as we are here this morning, we know because of news reports and because of relatives and friends that might even live in Florida and some of the surrounding states there, that Hurricane Irma is powerful, and there are many people who are being affected, who will be affected, and who are fearful right now. And so I want us to pause and to pray in terms of that specifically at this point. Would you join me in prayer, please? Father, we give you glory and honor. We don't understand why some things happen, but we have been taught in your word that this world has all sorts of tragedies and crises and things that take place because we live in a fallen world affected by sin. And Father, until that glorious day when you fully redeem and bring back all of creation and all of mankind to yourself, until that day, there will continue to be tragedies and disasters. And Lord, we now just come before you asking that you would be merciful and full of grace towards those people who have already been suffering because of Harvey and now are right in the middle of the path and the effects and of Irma. And we trust and ask, Lord, that even by your power there'd be the opportunity for that storm to be weakened and to be deflected and turned in a different direction. Father, we pray for the people of the Caribbean islands. We pray for the people of the United States who are and will be impacted. And we trust and ask God in the middle of whatever might happen that there will be opportunities, just as we've seen in the last 2 weeks, there will be opportunities to see your people who will provide and share hope and help and support in the lives of individuals and families and communities where there is devastation or where there seems to be hopelessness. And so, Father, we bring this before you asking that even through difficult times, that the faithfulness and the promises and the hands and feet of Jesus will be very, very evident so that the name of our Lord will be honored. Amen. Amen. So I mentioned to you about some disaster relief things, and just want to let you know that last week, yeah, there's some pictures going on. This was last week. Several of us were able to be involved in a couple of disaster relief opportunities. Over Labor Day weekend, there were a couple that went to Victoria to help with Texas Baptist Men. And then this last Tuesday through Friday, we had a team of 12 that was in Liberty, Texas, working at First Baptist Church of Liberty, where there was a command center set up by Virginia Baptist Disaster Relief Teams at the invitation of Texas Baptist. And so good cooperation and partnership there. And so while they're able to be a part of cleaning out homes, some of those homes had flood waters up to 8 feet in their homes, some 5 feet or 3 feet and so on, and just a lot of devastation and a lot of just heavy, heavy burdens on people, didn't know what to do next. And so whether it was a hug or whether it was hauling out furniture or whatever, we just were able to be a part of being there because God sent us there, and that was a blessing. A unique blessing in the middle of that was that we were able to, on one specific day, travel about an hour away to Beaumont and go to the house of one of our church members' mom, who had 8 feet of water in her house. You know, Dawn Weeks on our staff here is a preschool minister, and her husband, Mark. Mark's mom is the one whose house was flooded, and we were able to, and some of these pictures are of our time there with them, and we got to be there with them and help them and hopefully be a blessing to them. It was a blessing to our team as well. Our team served so well, and so proud of them in so many ways. You know, last Sunday, you received as a church family the opportunity with an announcement that you could be a part of also giving some financial donations towards disaster relief. And while I don't have exact numbers and so on, it was somewhere around $7,000 that you gave through Lakeside to disaster relief, to go to Texas Baptist Men, to go to North American Mission Board Send Relief, and to go to send teams like this one that you're seeing the pictures of here that
our people were a part of. And I want you to know about something coming up, two specific things in terms of disaster relief, because many people right now are saying, what can I do? Or is there a way I can even go? So in terms of going, two things. On September the 30th, a Saturday, there's going to be a training by Texas Baptist Men Disaster Relief in Fort Worth. We have printed some of that. We'll be printing it more. I encourage you to go. You might say, well, but, you know, that takes a day to go there, or it takes a morning to be a part of that. Yeah, but that means the next time a disaster comes in this area or the state or a surrounding state, whatever, you won't have to say, oh, I wish I had gone to be trained, so now I'm able to go out on a team. Rather, you can say, I was trained, therefore I'm ready to go. All right? So I encourage you to do that. Be a part of that and do it proactively. But you can also do it because for the next few months, we'll be taking teams down to Southeast Texas to help. There's one specific scheduled one that I want you to know about. September 24th through 28th, we're going to take a team back down to First Baptist Church of Liberty and work in cooperation with them and so on. And Audie and Shelley Sherrod are going to be leading that team. So if you want to know more about that, you're interested in going, you can contact me or our church office or James Spencer, our missions team, missions leadership team director, and we'll point you in the right direction and get you in contact with the team leaders who will be a part of that. Okay, so I want you to be aware of it. Thank you for your investment, your praying, your giving, your sending and going in terms of disaster relief as well. Okay? Let me just quickly try to give you an idea of something that Jesus says to us from Scripture as a challenge today. In John chapter 9, I'll read a few verses, the first seven verses, and if you'll listen closely, it says, as he, that is Jesus, went along, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus said, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me, because night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva and the dirt, and he put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. He was healed. There's two very quick things I want you to hear from God's Word today. And I present it to you as a challenge that comes to me, but a challenge for you as well. And because of our time frame here, it's going to be quick. So listen quick. Here goes. Jesus gives us a sense of urgency. He specifically says, there's not much time left. There's going to come a time when you no longer can be about the Father's business, and you can no longer be about being on mission. There's going to come a point where you say, maybe I wish I had done it, but now it's too late. And whether that time comes for you as an individual because the point in your life is that you can no longer physically do something, or whether it's because Jesus comes again before you go ahead and say, here I am, send me. Lord, here I am. I'll go wherever. There's a point of urgency. The urgency is this, that if we look around these many places that have been depicted on pictures and the places that people have talked about up here on the platform, on the stools there, there are many places where there are scores and dozens and hundreds and thousands and millions who don't yet have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that should cause us to say, we can't rest. We can't just sit in comfort. We can't just say, well, I hope it happens for them somewhere, somehow. God is sending us as individuals and sending us as a church to be a part of His mission, and it's an urgent mission. There's urgency involved in it because it's about eternity, it's about life and death, it's about people who do not yet know Christ, and there will be a point at which they can no longer have that opportunity. It's about the people who live under your roof, it's about the people who live in your block, It's about the people that you work with, and it's about the people who are in other parts of the state, other parts of this nation, other parts of this world. There's a sense of urgency from Jesus himself. He says, as long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Let's get with it, he says. Let's not use an excuse to say some other time, some other way, someone else will do it. There's a sense of urgency from Jesus. Should that not create a sense of urgency in our own hearts? Second thing is this. It might get messy. Why in the world would Jesus do something as, well, gross? Something as gross as spit in the dirt and make mud and then put it on someone's eyes. How many of you, if you had seen it, or if you had been the person whose eyes were covered with the spit mud, thought, oh, that is so cool. That is so cool. No way. You're saying, oh, man. Gross. Why? Is that the only way that Jesus could heal that guy? No, we see in other places in Scripture that Jesus touched someone with a simple touch, people were healed. He spoke a word and people were healed. He even did it from long distance sometimes when the person wasn't even in front of him. Could it be? Could it be that in this Scripture we see Jesus doing this right after he says, there's an urgency here, folks, to remind us that when it's urgent, it may not always be neat and tidy. In fact, sometimes we have to get our hands dirty and our feet dirty and willing to get out of a comfort zone and get into a place that we might not normally want to be in because there's an urgency. We got to do it. And if it means that I deal with something and some place and some people that maybe isn't the most comfortable thing for me, then that's where I say, this is not about me. This is about the mission of Jesus. And some of you have set that example, willing to be in places and in situations where it's kind of messy because you realize there's an urgency involved here. What are we willing to do so that we might even take that triplet of the pray, give, go, which is a great triplet, and say, could this be that God's calling me to pray like I've never prayed before? To give like I've never given before? And maybe to go places I've never been before? It doesn't always mean getting on a plane. Sometimes means going across the street. Could it be that we hear God saying to us and reminding us again as a church, even in the light of the fact that so many great things God's been doing, we celebrate that today, that it's not done yet. The mission's not complete yet. We cannot rest and we cannot rest on the laurels of what happened this past summer. We celebrate what's happened, but only so it launches us forward. We live forward because it's about a mission that we've been given by Jesus. And the mission of Jesus calls us to be here, there, and everywhere. That's a paraphrase of Acts 1:8 that says that we're going to be His witnesses by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the other parts of the earth. But in our lingo for this purpose, we say, here, there, and everywhere. He's sending us. He's calling us. We're on mission. You heard some of the young adults say, something I've learned is mission isn't just about an activity. Mission isn't just about a location that I went to and now I'm no longer there. Mission is also about wherever I am now. I challenge you from God's Word as it challenges me. What should our response be to the mission? The mission of God through Jesus Christ. There's a three-way impact I want you to hear about real quick. I talked about the triple threat or triple play a while ago. And in sports terms, triple play and triple threat, the triple is something that often is referred to. But in our context, there's that triple, the three things we do, pray, give, and go, the three places we go, here, there, and everywhere. And then the three kinds of impact when we're on mission. Very quickly, there's the impact for those with whom those that we're serving. Like if it's in Seattle, the people that we come across there, or if it's in Serbia, or if it's in Southeast Asia, or if it's in Southeast Texas or something, the people that we serve, their lives are impacted. Their lives are touched. The love of God through you as a team member, through you as a church, impacts them. The second impact is the impact it has on team members themselves. And any of you who have been on a mission team, whether here, there, or everywhere, you can testify to this. You might not realize when you set out on that mission how much it's going to impact you, how much your life is going to be touched, how much God is going to show you some things you did not know He's going to show you, how much you're going to learn, how much you're going to be stretched, how much you're going to be challenged, and it's going to impact you in all sorts of ways that will be lifelong lasting. There's a third kind of impact. And sometimes we overlook this. It's the impact on the lives of those with whom we serve in those places. In other words, depending on where it is, it might be a church planter, it might be a missionary, it might be a pastor, it might be some people who are in a very desperate situation, but yet they need someone to come alongside them as they're trying to minister. And so we often forget that there's a huge impact in their lives. God uses times like mission teams going to make such a difference in their hearts. And I can't say it well enough as the video that you're about to see explains it from two different partners that we have and how the impact is on their lives.
Hey, we're James and Katie Civilly, and we are church planters in Serbia. And for me as a young mom, it's such a blessing to have teams from the state come because I'm at home a little bit more and I'm not able to get out and minister like I want to sometimes. We see so many needs around us and so many lost people. And just last week, a lady from your church had a really meaningful conversation with a lady that I had been wanting to have coffee with for a long time. And when I saw them talking, I felt like God was saying, Katie, I've got this.
Whenever teams come from the States, it's such an important support for us and helps us get through the year as we're here long term. It means a lot to know that people from the States are behind us, they're supporting us, that this task is not up to us alone, it's a church-wide task, and that we're an extension of the church. And as people come here, it helps them know who we're working with and knows how to pray for us throughout the year. And so that is a huge support for us, not only while they're here having someone to pray with us, but knowing that through the year people know the people that we're working with and are praying alongside of us and supporting us.
Hey Lakeside, it's Kelly and Brandy Parrish here with Living Rock Church in Fort Collins, Colorado. Thanks for the privilege of being able to speak with you this morning about the impact that you guys and other great mission teams have as they come and lock arms with us in this mission.
We honestly cannot begin to tell you what your partnership has meant to us. The teams that come and serve with us not only are life-giving personally to our family and our children, but you allow us to do things that we could not do on our own. What we are doing on a daily basis is exhausting. It is hard. The spiritual warfare is horrific. And when you come and you encourage us and you love us and you bring some of home to us here, there are no words to describe what that does for us. When you leave, we feel full, and we know that we've accomplished many things in reaching our neighbors with the gospel.
The kind of impact we have, even in people's lives like that. But I go back to Scripture now and ask you this. Would you consider the impact of the mission of God given to us by Jesus in your own heart today? Maybe you've been challenged. Maybe you've been encouraged. Maybe you've been enlightened. But all of us who call ourselves followers of Jesus Christ cannot exclude ourselves from what Jesus said is to be natural for a follower of Christ, and that is to be on mission. What does that mean for you? There may be some people here today who have been hearing about the gospel of Jesus and been seeing glimpses and pieces and bits about Jesus changing lives and being on mission, and you're saying, I want to know more about what it means to have a relationship with Jesus. I want to know what it is involved in following this one who loves me so much that he gave his life on the cross in my place. So in just a moment, we're going to have an invitation. And when we have that time of invitation, there will be ministers and there will be counselors who would love to be able to talk with you about what God is doing in your heart. There's an altar here. You might want to come and pray here. There's the quilt, and that signifies praying for people who have some physical needs and are going through a difficult time. So however God's moving in your life during this time of invitation, let's consider that and be obedient and responsive to Him. Father, would you work in our hearts? May we be responsive to you. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together, shall we?